Well, good morning, friends. Before we begin, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that only your word be spoken, only your word heard, and only your word lived. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, today I want to talk about love. And I want to explore how we define love and then what we can learn from Jesus. Now, today's question is, well, what is love? And this is an ancient question. I remember when I was studying philosophy at university, we read Plato's Symposium, which is an ancient and classic text on the nature of love. But more recently, I've really appreciated the exploration of modern Trinidadian German poet Hadaway when he asked, "What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more." You remember that song? That is a classic song, and he's asking the most important question. What is love? Well, in a 2015 interview, when asked about the meaning of his song, this is what he said, and I quote, "People always ask me about what I meant, and I meant that what is love needs to be defined by everyone by his own definition. It's unique and individual. For me, it has to do with trust, honesty, and dedication." So according to Hadaway, love is what you make of it. No one can tell you what is love. It's up to you to define. And so this idea that it's up to you to define, this is what we believe. And this is not what Jesus says. So when an expert on Jewish religious law asks Jesus to single out the greatest commandment, Jesus answers, "To love." But notice that he doesn't say, "You know what, it's up to you to decide what love is." And Jesus doesn't say, "You know what, you should feel free to live and love as you see fit as long as you don't harm others." That's actually what we say. But Jesus doesn't say that. According to Jesus, this is love, and we find it in our gospel reading starting at verse 37. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And this is what Jesus is saying. To truly love, we must love God first. There's an order to love, and it's important to get it right. Because if you love anything more than God, you will harm that which you love, you're going to harm those around you, and you're going to harm yourself. That's why getting this right matters. Jesus says, love God and your neighbor. So, why don't we understand what Jesus is saying? Let's start by looking at the neighbor first. Now, a helpful guide to me in exploring what Jesus means by love has been St. Augustine. And he said that our main problem is that our loves are out of order. So for Augustine, we aren't ultimately shaped by what we believe, or we're not shaped by what we think, or even what we do. We are largely shaped by what we love. So this is what he says, and I quote, "For when we ask whether somebody is a good person, we are not asking what he believes or hopes for, but what he loves." So, according to St. Augustine, courage, for example, is loving the well-being of your neighbor more than your safety. And honesty is loving the interests of your neighbor, even if telling the truth will disadvantage you. So love properly ordered, well, it's a blessing, right? But disordered love hurts everyone. Just look at injustice today. I firmly believe that all of us were really for social justice and we're for equality. And I think that we really believe it. But if we make choices, right? So if we make purchasing choices, or if we're in the business sector, we make business choices that essentially exploit others, that's because in our heart of hearts, who we really are, we prefer our comfort and prosperity over justice for our neighbors. Our loves are out of order. Now I think, you know, recognizing this, talking about it, thinking it through, it's actually uncomfortable for many of us. I know it's uncomfortable for me. It brings our lifestyles, our life decisions into question, right? I think that's really tough to do. And yet I think that's completely fair. When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, we have to reevaluate our lives. And yet, Jesus is going way deeper than this. Because when we think about loving our neighbor as ourselves, you know, we might actually agree with Jesus in rejecting the disorder that I just talked about, you know, wanting our comfort and prosperity more than justice for a neighbor, right? I mean, even though that's going to bring up really awkward and difficult reflection and even conversation, in principle, we're going to be okay with that. We can say, well, you know what? Okay, Jesus, what you're saying makes sense. I'll work harder at loving others as I love myself. And since life is about being true to myself, I'll simply affirm whatever decisions my neighbor makes about how they live their life, you know, as long as they're not harming everyone. That's what you mean, right, Jesus? And well, actually, no. Jesus isn't saying that love is a blanket affirmation of our neighbor's choices. Jesus is saying that what is love is up to God. And God has told us what love is. You see, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, he's actually quoting the Bible. It's actually a verse from the first half of the Bible we call the Old Testament. You know, it's the boring one. I'm joking. It's not boring, actually. It's incredibly rich and exciting, and it's well worth paying attention to because Jesus is always using the Old Testament. Jesus is always quoting it. Jesus takes it incredibly seriously, and so should we. So here's what Jesus says. Here, this is what he's quoting. It's from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Notice that God defines what loving your neighbor looks like. Right? Love isn't a blanket affirmation. Love has a particular look, a particular shape. And God has given it to us. No revenge or grudges in this case. And this verse is among a longer list of God's commands. And they all end with, I am the Lord. So it's God's stamp of approval, not ours. That's why St. Paul says to the Thessalonians, we are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. What St. Paul is pointing out, and what Jesus makes clear by quoting the Old Testament, is that God decides what is love. God tests our hearts, what's right and wrong, not us. Our call is to attune to what God has shared with us. Now, this is deeper than it sounds. It's not just that God is the boss, and so we just have to fall into line because it's his say-so. I mean, that's true. But Jesus is highlighting a deeper rhythm. When Jesus starts by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, he's reminding us that, in fact, God is love. So God is a source. God is the life spring of love itself. God has created us out of love. God has created us to love. And therefore, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in him. Because God is love, so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been in an eternal loving relationship, an eternal harmony of love. And God has created us to enjoy the same love with him. So our love is ordered and is at its best when we live as we were always meant to live, loving God first. So Jesus is saying, to truly love, you must love God first. And if you skip this step, your love is out of order. And no matter your good intentions, you're going to do serious harm. So, for example, if you love your kids more than you love God, then your sense of value, your sense of self-worth will be tied with your children's success. You'll need them to succeed way too much, and you'll crush them under the weight of your expectations. Or if you love your spouse or partner more than God, the same goes. Or how about your work? If you love work more than you love God, then you're going to love work more than your family. You're going to love work more than your community. You're going to love work more than yourself, which will lead to all kinds of terrible aspects of our lives. It's going to lead to, well, your health is going to break down. It will lead to relational breakdown at home. And if you love work more than your community, that's the source of so much injustice in this world. So if you love anything more than God, you're going to harm that which you love. You're going to harm those around you, and you're going to harm yourself. And my friends, it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus is right. We have to love God first. That's how we were created to be. So how do we do that? How do we love God first? Well, we can't just say, okay, thanks for the heads up, Seth. Now I will love God first. It doesn't happen that way. It's not just an act of the will. You and I, we have to come to terms with, we have to have our hearts touched by the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. So the heart of faith in Jesus, let me give you the nutshell right here. The heart of faith in Jesus is the gospel of sin and grace. And this is how it goes. Because we fail to love God and our neighbor, well, we sin. And for God to forgive our sin, Jesus gave his life for ours on the cross. And I know that some of us just don't like this. You know, we find this regressive, or maybe we find it offensive. But for the moment, I want you to consider how the cross of Christ brings the healing to our relationship with God and therefore with each other. So consider this. If you own up to the fact that you sin, Jesus can actually touch your heart. And so the way this works, I want you to think about this. Imagine you have a child and you sacrifice for your child and you work double shifts so they can have what you didn't have, or you pay for their whole university experience. And so they go off and then they never make time for you. They almost never call you. Maybe they send you a birthday card. I think we can all agree that would be wrong. I think that would be very wrong, because your child doesn't just owe you respect, they owe you love. Now think about this. If there is a God, the love we owe God is way more than a child owes a loving parent. Way more. So if you reflect on this, you know what's going to happen? It's going to humble you. It actually will grieve you, but it will humble you and grieve you in the best way. And it's going to warm you to the love in Jesus. Or consider this. Imagine someone dear to you has wrongfully cost you an incredible amount of money, more than they could ever pay you. And yet you love them. So you absorb the debt yourself. That's us with God. Our sin breaks our relationship with God. And it's serious stuff. I mean, look at Moses in today's reading today. This is what it says of Moses. It's so interesting. Here's what it says. No prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. That's incredible. Moses is lauded as one of the best humans that ever lived. Yet because of his sin, he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land. That's how seriously God takes sin. I mean, we might not, but God clearly does. And yet, God doesn't simply cast us out into the darkness. He doesn't leave us alone. God comes to us in the person of Jesus. And Jesus absorbs our debt so that if we turn to God in Jesus Christ, not only will we live, but we will experience God's love. And that's forever. And so here's the point. Let me end with this. If you begin to see what Jesus has done for you, it will begin to change your heart. Loving God won't be a vague or abstract thing. Instead, your heart will echo praise. It will echo the psalmist. Let me read you a part of Psalm 63. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Amen. My friends, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, all your ways are good, and we pursue the way of death when we go our own way. Help us to see sin as the poison it is. Let your word, rather than our opinion, shape our minds and our lives. Amen.